Masechet Eduyot, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. This Masechet Eduyot, was written in Yavne after the destruction of the second Bet HaMikdash. Yavne was the town that the Hachamim retreated to in order to make sure that Torah learning and the perpetuation of our Mesorah would continue. This Masechet was written Bo Bayom, as the Mishnayot talk about, a fateful day when Rabban Gamliel was deposed as the Nasi of the Bet Din of the Jewish people, as the head of the rabbinical court of Bnei Israel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was put in his place. The discussion between him and Rabbi Yehoshua in Masechet Berachot that we've heard of, where they have a debate, and Hachamim end up saying that Rabban Gamliel cannot serve as the Nasi of the Jewish people. They put Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was Hare Arik Heben Shivim Shana. He was someone who was like he was 70 years old, but he was only 18 at the time. And Hashem made a miracle and he grew a white beard in order to give him that look that could eventually make him the Nasi. Rabban Gamliel was a much tougher Nasi, and he didn't allow people who weren't Talmidei Hachamim to enter the Beit Midrash. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, on the other hand, was open. He allowed people to enter and come learn. And because of his position and tolerance for people to come study, many, many people became Talmidei Hachamim, and a lot of discussion of Torah happened on that day, and many halachic decisions were decided on that day. So this Masechet will include many, many decisions from that day, so they're included in this Masechet, but also we call the Masechet Eduyot, which means testimony, because many of the halachic decisions that were made were attested to at Yavne. We have reliable Hachamim say this was the halacha, and they transferred over that tradition to Yavne. Many times in the Gemara, we call this Masechet the Behirata, which means the choicest Masechet. Because whenever there's a Mahloket in the Gemara and something from Eduyot is offered, we say, bottom line, that's what we choose. Eduyot wins because it's a certified, guaranteed Mishnah, one that we know to be definitely true. Now we'll get into the Mishnah. The first three Mishnayot of this Masechet will have a Mahloket between Shammai and Hillel. Not Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, but the actual people of Shammai and Hillel. And Hachamim are going to disagree with both of their opinions. The first Mishnah will talk about a woman who is a Nida, someone who gets their period. When a woman has a discharge of blood from her uterus, she becomes Tameh on a Deoraita level. Whenever she has a discharge from her uterus, she is Tameh. So anything that she touches as well becomes Tameh. She's not allowed to also have relations with her husband at that time. And in order to purify herself, she has to wait a certain amount of days and then dip in a mikveh. Whenever a woman has blood leave her uterus, at that moment in time, right away, she is teme'ah. She is impure. And that applies even if the blood never left her body. Let's say it's there in her, right outside of her uterus, in the birth canal. A woman is nida right away. So when she discovers that she's Nida, when she finally sees the blood, maybe it's possible that the blood was there for a little bit of time already because it left her uterus at an earlier time but stayed inside of her body. So whatever she touched from then on becomes Tameh. But based on this whole idea, we're going to have a Mahloket here between Shammai and Hillel about if a woman finds blood, does she have to suspect that she was already a Teme'ah, impure, for some time? And if so, how long? Mishnah says, Shammai Omer Kol Hanashim Dayan Sha'atan. Says Shammai, all women who find that they had a discharge of blood, it's enough that they become Tameh from the time that they find the blood. In other words, we have no nervousness that they became Tameh earlier on in time. So anything that they touched before they found the blood is considered to be tahor. Anything that they touched after they found the blood is considered to be tameh. That is the opinion of Shammai. Now we'll talk about Hillel. According to Hillel, he says, women who regularly dealt with taharot, which are teruma, which is the portion that's given over to the Kohen, or kodashim, which are korbanot of the Beit HaMikdash, says Hillel that they would frequently do an internal examination to see if they were bleeding, if they were menstruating, just to see what their story was. So Hillel says, "Behillel omer mipekeda lepekeda." He says, if a woman examines herself normally because she's handling these items, and she finds blood, she's retroactively teme'ah impure from the last time that she did an examination until the examination that she finds blood, afilu leyamim harbe, even if many days pass from the last examination. According to him, Hillel says that we have to suspect that she was teme'ah, that she was bleeding, from the moment after the last examination that she did. In other words, from when we know that she was last tahor, that's the last time we could know that she was a tehora. But after that time, when we have we don't know when she started to bleed, we have to assume that there was blood over there, and therefore items that she touched from that time and on, we suspect them to be tameh. This halakha only applies, like we said, to taharot. Taharot are the holy items of Terumah and of Kodashim that have to be kept in a state of purity at all times. If she touched them during this Safek time, this unknown time, we assume that these items are problematic. But regular items, we're not talking about. If she touched a regular item during that time, we have no nervousness. Because according to the Torah, on a biblical level, everybody agrees that a woman is only a Teme'ah when she actually finds blood. The Mahlokia we have over here is Dirabanan. Do we go retroactive or not when it comes to Taharot or not? That's the Mahlokia Shammai and Hillel. Shammai say, no, we do not go retroactive. While Hillel say we do go retroactive. And that's the position of Hillel. Hillel, for example, would say, let's say a woman did a check, an internal check on a Sunday, and she found nothing. She found no blood. And then she did another internal check on Wednesday, and she found blood. So according to Hillel, we have to suspect all the different taharot that she touched post her examination, her internal check on Sunday, until the check that she found on Wednesday, the items are, we have to assume, are tameh, but we have to treat them as safek tameh, because we don't know with definite certainty. So therefore, since they may be tameh, you can't eat those items, but on the side that they're not tameh, that they're actually still holy items, you're not allowed to burn them. Usually a kodashim or terumah that became tameh, you burn. But these items may not be tameh, because maybe she didn't touch them. Maybe she wasn't bleeding when she touched them. So therefore, since they may not be tameh, we don't burn them either. That's the machloket between Shammai and Hillel. V'achamim omrim, lo kedivrezeh v'lo kedivrezeh. Say hachamim, halakha is not like the opinion of this one, Shammai, who was too lenient. Halakha is also not like the opinion of Hillel, who was very strict. Ela, me'et le'et, me'ma'etet, al yideh, me'pekeda le'pekeda. Say, hachamim, they throw another variable into the mix. They say that if there's 24 hours that passed since her last internal examination, then that pushes away the internal examination. In other words, if more than 24 hours passed since her last check, then we say she's only retroactively teme'ah for those past 24 hours. So it's basically the more lenient of these two options, either her last examination or 24 hours. Ubepikeda lepikeda mema'etet ayide me'et me'et. And also, if the time between her last examination and her other examination, her one that she just found the blood now and then the previous one, if that's less than 24 hours, then she's only retroactively teme'ah from the time of her last examination, which is less than 24 hours. So when a woman finds blood, she's retroactively teme'ah for either the preceding 24 hours or the last examination, whichever one is shorter. That is the opinion of Hachamim. But we'll have now a case where everyone agrees. Kol isha sheyesh la veset daya sha'ata. If a woman has a veset, if a woman has a set time, she always experiences her period on a set date of the month, for example, she knows when she's getting it, then we say daya sha'ata. It's enough for her to find the blood and to become teme'ah from that point in time. She always knows when she's going to bleed. So therefore, from that time and on, she is teme'ah. We're not concerned about that type of woman that she had blood leave her uterus earlier, and therefore we say that she's not teme'ah retroactively. We'll add another detail to the opinion of Hachamim. Hameshameshet be'idim. If a woman has relations and she's examining herself before and after with a cloth, she's doing that in order to make sure she's not a nida and that she's permitted to her husband. She's examining herself before she has relations to make sure that she can be with her husband, and also after relations to make sure that the relations didn't make her bleed. This is not talking about a woman nowadays, this is only talking about a woman who dealt with taharot, who dealt with holy items, the terumah and the kodashim. So if she, when she does this, this examination that she does, this internal check after relations, is considered to be a valid examination or an internal check for the law of our Mishnah, that after she has relations and she checks, it's as if she did a regular check. We're only talking about the examination she does after relations, not pre-relations, because if she did a check before she was with her husband, then that check may have been rushed in order, and she didn't do it thoroughly because she was going to be with her husband. But the one after relations, the haidush that we say counts, is the fact that there are other liquids over there at that point in time. So therefore, a person may think that it's not a fully valid examination, a full internal check, because there's other stuff going on. So therefore, you're not going to get a real understanding of it. So what we're saying here is that works in order to be put into the picture of what Hachamim are doing when they say me'et le'etu me'pekeda le'pekeda. So if she finds blood later on, me'ma'etet al yad me'et le'et ve'al yad me'pekeda le'pekeda. So if she did this post-relations check, that would reduce the time from her retroactive tumah, according to them, to less than 24 hours if she did a examination, if she did a check inside, before, within that 24 hours. So she would only be retroactively teme'ah from the time of her post-relations check till she found right now, or we would say 24 hours, whichever one of them is shorter. So she's not teme'ah from the time of her last normal internal check, but here from her last post-relations check, which is much more lenient.